Do you just want to get it out of the way? Do you just want to gloat and party and hit the parade? Cam, I will give you the stage. Tell us we were wrong. Cam Urshery, the only person at the entire station who had the Hawks taking down the number one seeded Philadelphia 76ers. Cam, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you guys was wrong. That's all I would say. You guys was wrong. I'm happy to win.
I used to really like you, Cam. I used to really be fond of you. Yeah, you changed.
How did I change? You changed.
You know, I mean, right.
I was happy about last night. I seen the meltdown coming. I told you guys, Ben Simmons. It's not Embiid's fault. It's all Ben Simmons' fault. It's absolutely terrible. He'll probably be out of Philly now, but you got to give the Hawks credit. Kevin Herter stepped up last night. Trae Young, bad shooting night, but he still came in and hit a big shot from basically the logo when you needed it. It was a good team win, and they have a legitimate chance at the Bucks. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but if you look at the height and the depth that they have on that Hawks team, they're a better defensive team than Brooklyn. Way better. They have a chance.
No, I mean, I do want to hear that because we're there now, but I want to start with the game last night because it was really everything you could want out of a Game 7, right? You had a back and forth. You had superstars all over the place performing well. You had the hero of the game who really came out of nowhere in Kevin Herter, which he had played a good series, but nobody expected him. If I gave you 10 guys to choose from that were going to be the superstar and lead their team to victory last night, Kevin Herter probably doesn't make your list, right? You're going Clint Capella, you're going Trae Young, certainly Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, not Danny Green because he's hurt, but just you're going with a bunch of different names before you get to Kevin Herter. So you had really everything you wanted out of a Game 7, and it was close until the very end, right? I almost had to drive to WSAV to yell at Andrew Goldstein because it's like 45 seconds left in the game. He goes, wow, the Hawks are really going to do this. And he put it on Twitter. And I was like, Andrew, the hell you doing, man? So it's just you had everything you wanted out of it. But I think you're right, Kim. At the end, the Hawks just look like the better team. You can have Trae Young shoot as atrociously as he shot. Because make no mistake, Trae Young had a bad game. Like, Trae Young did not play a good basketball game, was extremely inefficient, turned the ball over, was getting in arguments, had a technical foul. Trae Young, your superstar, had a bad game, and you still beat a team with two supposed superstars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, unquestioned superstar, right? But let's start with Ben Simmons here. Ben Simmons, Cam, I'm curious to get your opinion because it seems like he has all the talent in the world, but for me, it just seems like it's one of those things where it's not going to work in Philadelphia because mentally it seems like he's checked out.
I don't know if it's going to work anywhere. You have to be willing to work on your jump shot anywhere you go. You can ship him off to Golden State. Steph Curry and Klay still going to have to teach him how to shoot the ball. Until he gets that confidence to shoot the ball, when at least get a mid-range J, he won't work out anywhere unless he transitions to being, you know, a power forward that guards point guards and a power forward that's on the offensive end. But, I mean, let's give him credit. He helped the Hawks win. Zero shot attempts in the fourth quarter for the last four games.
Let's put it this way. If he doesn't shape up, he'll be in Sacramento or something like that. You know what I mean?
I think somebody's going to take a chance on him just based off of his past because he has had some great moments where he's makes flashes of being one of the best players in the league. I still think so. But he had a nightmare of a season. Honestly, the Sixers were better when he was off the court, at least against the Hawks, right? I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's one of those things where it's like you've paid him that money, and so you got to ride and die with him, and they died with him. But they were much better. We saw it a couple games ago. They just took him off the court, and the Hawks couldn't keep up with their speed. They were much better when he wasn't on the court. But I think it all came to a head when you're coming to crunch time. He puts a great move down in the paint, has a clear path to dunk. The only thing standing in his way is 6 foot nothing Trae Young, and he dishes the ball away.
Yep.
And if you look at the top of the key, you just see Joel Embiid put his hands on his head and say, as if to say, like, what are we doing? That's it. I mean, that was the defining moment.
I know Philly fans are sick. I don't think people remember. The Rockets offered James Harden for Ben Simmons, like kind of straight up for him. If they had Harden right now, they'd be the title favorites. They would have beat the Hawks with Harden and Embiid. But I know they're sick to their stomachs, but yeah, he passed up a wide open dunk that probably could have helped them win the game, and it kind of threw the game away from him because I think Thybul went 1-2 from the line when he got fouled on that pass. But I mean, yeah, credit to Ben Simmons. I'm looking forward to the Hawks playing the Bucks. Coach Bud going against his old team. So,
Would you rather them play the Bucks and they played the Nets? Obviously, because I think it's the perfect 1,000% situation they're going into.
Well, no,
right?
Look at the entire thing, right? I mean, if you get past the Bucks, you don't have to play LeBron.
I know.
Right? LeBron's already out. This is so weird. I tweeted out last night. It feels like a fever dream.
Well,
like,
and
it doesn't make sense.
All four of these teams that are left have not won a championship since the merger.
I will say this, and I know I said this about the 76ers, but I feel very confident saying this. I think both Western Conference teams are significantly better than both Eastern Conference teams that are back, right? Yeah. If all things are even and Chris Paul isn't in the COVID protocol with the Suns, and the Suns even won without him, I think Devin Booker and Chris Paul and that team that they put together out there significantly better than either one of the Eastern Conference teams. But I said that about Philadelphia, right? Like, Philadelphia on paper was a much better team than the Atlanta Hawks. And yeah, they went to seven and it took some magic at the end for the Hawks, a historic comeback. It took some magic for the Hawks to get there, but they got there and they won and they're in the Eastern Conference Finals now. And the other side of that is what we just said. Look at the matchup they have in the Eastern Conference Finals now. By an unfortunate series of events for the Nets, you have Kyrie Irving go out, you have James Harden go out, and it's just Kevin Durant. And even a 40-plus point performance from Kevin Durant wasn't enough to lift them in Game 7. So you're going to miss out on the new big three. And you have a chance to play the Milwaukee. If you, at the beginning of the seasons, told any team in the NBA, if you beat Milwaukee, you'll go to the NBA Finals, every single team's taking that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a not much of a difference of a team between the Joel Embiid 76ers than the Giannis Bucks, you know what I mean? Great defensive team. You know, they have Giannis and they had homeboy. You know what I mean? It's not much of a difference of a team.
There's a lot of homeboys
to play
on the team.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? They're both big guys, both drained the buckets, both great on defense, stuff like that.
I would honestly say I think Embiid right now, and Cam, you can disagree with me on this one. I think Embiid right now, just based off that performance, is a little bit better and a more of a mismatch than Giannis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was telling everybody, this is what you want as a Hawks fan. You can build a wall against Giannis. He hasn't seen it yet in the playoffs because Brooklyn just plays. They're allergic to defense. Miami, I don't know what they were doing. But the Hawks, they have the front line to go against Giannis and stop that. And then Jrue Holiday's been terrible. You make him beat you. Chris Middleton's been pretty good, but you live with that.
They have P.J. Tucker, like, stays ready to throw hands. You also have former Hawk on there, Jeff Teague. It's going to be cool to see him again. Who matches up in your mind with Giannis? Because I do think if you put Capella out on Giannis, I don't know if he has the speed to keep up with him. I think Clint Capella was the unspoken hero of this past series. I thought he was dominant a lot of times in the paint and doing what he's supposed to do. Listen, you could tell the thought was, we're just going to have Capella on Embiid one-on-one and let him work. Very few, if any, players in the NBA could stop Embiid one-on-one.
Yep.
Right? And he didn't do it all the time, but he got enough turnovers, I thought, to keep it relative. And the fact you didn't have to use somebody else, I thought Capella did a great job in that series. I don't think he's a good matchup for Giannis. I'm thinking more of Danilo Gallinari in that spot or John Collins, because I think if you leave Giannis one-on-one with Clint Capella, who's guarding Brook Lopez? Because Brook Lopez is a hell of a center.
Yeah, this is a tough one because you don't want Capella on Lopez because that keeps Capella out the paint now. Lopez is not a low post guy. He's a stretch big. He stretches the floor, but it's going to have to be Capella or John Collins to stop Giannis. They're going to want to funnel him into the paint, into, like, the bigs, and make him kick the ball out to, like, Jrue Holiday and all the other guys and force them to hit jumpers. And Bucks, last series, they didn't shoot the ball well. They were basically attacking Brooklyn and just saying, we're bigger than y'all. We're going to out-muscle y'all. I don't think you can do that against this Hawks team because they're just as big as the Bucks. So I'm prepared to see that. And I think Trae Young, he'll be able to get off against Milwaukee as well.
Are we going to see Capella and Okongwu on the floor at the same time in your mind then?
That would be cool. I think that could work. I think Okongwu is a little bit more lateral quickness-wise, better than Capella. You could put him on Giannis, but does he have the experience and the IQ to guard somebody.
Well,
like
I'm just thinking, like, if Giannis and Brooks Lopez are on the court at the same time, or Brooke Lopez, excuse me, are on the court at the same time, who are you having matching up with the guy that Capella's not on?
Yeah, that's very true. It's going to be a tough one because Brooke Lopez can stretch that floor and hit the three from basically anywhere. He can stretch the floor for real.
He's a tough one. He can shoot like Embiid, right? If you leave him open, he's going to hit the shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you'll take this matchup. I agree with you 100%. I think Embiid's not just better, way better than Giannis. I think Giannis caught a break last series, didn't really have to go against a good defense. KD was basically their center. So, yeah, I think this one is going to be a tough one for both teams.
You guys are forgetting about, like, Chris Middleton is – A force to be.
No, Cam said,
right?
Chris Middleton. Yeah. But I think you have guys who match up with Chris Middleton, right? Like you have Kevin Huerter who can match up on defense with Chris Middleton, right? You have John Collins who can match up on defense with Chris Middleton. I think the worry is last series you saw what a big guy can do to this Atlanta Hawks team because you don't have anybody like him, right? How many times have we seen in the past where LeBron James just goes out and finds another 7'5" center because you just needed one that could go up and get boards and stand in the middle and guard the other 7'5" center. The Hawks don't have anybody like that, right? When it came to the Embiid and Simmons, Capella was smaller than both of them, right? So they don't have anybody. And if they do, it is Capella, who's the second guy. I think it's a Kongwu, but we've seen more of a rotation. He's been the guy who spells Clint Capella.
Yeah.
So when this is what I'm worried about is when Milwaukee goes big, do the Hawks have the bodies to match up?
Ooh, I think so because of the way they play the game. They're just a fast-paced team. You could put in Trae Young, and then after that, I think Bogdanovich is 6'6", and you go up from there. Gallinari is 6'11", Capella 6'10", Collins is like 6'8", 6'9", so I think so. And Brook Lopez is not a physical rebounder like that. You have to worry about P.J. Tucker and Jrue Holiday and kind of like the undersized guys crashing the board, so that's big. But Bucks are a scrappy team. They really are. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Every series from now on is going to be a tough one.
DeAndre Hunter tweeted out the eyeballs emoji last night, which got a lot of people excited. I mean, if they can have him back for this series, Cam, how big would that be?
That would be huge because now you have somebody that could just stay attached to Chris Middleton the whole series. They're about the same height, and Hunter's a really good defender. If you upset Chris Middleton, you win the series. He's their closer. I don't want to hear Giannis is. Jrue Holiday definitely isn't. He's been their closer. If you can stop him, you go let Giannis get 30 points and shoot like, what, 4 of 10 from the free throw line. You let him do that, you win the series.
Another thing I want to talk about, and obviously he's had the spotlight on him, and Nate McMillan, the job he's done, we've had nothing but praise for him on here, and a lot of people are starting to ask the question, why haven't the Hawks taken the interim tag off? I know Cody's asked that question as well. I don't know so much anymore, Cam, if it's the Hawks haven't taken the interim tag off or if Nate McMillan is going to explore his options when he gets to the post or the
you
the
shut your mouth. Don't you say that.
I think that's a legitimate thing, Cam. I think if the Hawks could, he'd already have that job.
Yeah, it's legitimate. It's a lot of nice openings. You have Luka in Dallas, Tatum in Boston. But, I mean, now, if I'm the Hawks, hey, listen, 5-6 year deal, man. He's done a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
They've overachieved. Nobody expected this, and they have a legitimate chance at the finals. That's crazy. So, I'm offering them a contract if I'm the Hawks, but he'll probably explore. I don't blame him.
I think his agent would be doing a disservice if he accepted a deal right now.
Because
not going to go down. Like if they go get swept by Milwaukee, you still overachieved if you're Nate McMillan and turned around one of the worst teams in the NBA to an Eastern Conference Finals team. I think if you're his agent, you'd be doing him a disservice by not exploring those options and at least using those job openings to get your guy a longer extension and or a longer deal and more money here. But the other side of that is I think we would have heard about it if it was the Hawks not offering him the job. I think there would already be some discourse and some discord about it that we would have heard about, and we haven't heard anything like that, right? We haven't heard Nate McMillan coming out and being like or just sources say Nate McMillan is disgruntled because he hasn't been offered the interim. I think he's probably just in conversations with the Atlanta Hawks front office saying, if you guys want to offer me the job, great, but I'm going to go explore. And I think that's probably fine for both of them, because I do think the Hawks would be doing themselves a disservice if you're a multi-million dollar business and you don't at least put together a search committee. Even if the obvious answer is going to be Nate McMillan, you got to put a search committee and do your due diligence. So I think this is just probably, Cam, an example of a front office and a coach saying, let's get through where we're at right now, and then we'll have the conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Nate McMillan himself might be saying, let's see how far I can take this. Where if I get this team to the finals? Instead of getting 10 mil, let me get 15. So, of course, you got to explore the options on the both sides. But I think push come to shove, he'll be in Atlanta for years to come. I do think so.
And also the other thing about this is these aren't Nate McMillan's moves that are that have put this team together. What he's done is he's taken the menu he was given and created something great out of it, right? So you do have to have those conversations, correct, Cam, with the ownership, with the front office, saying, here's my vision of what I want to do with the roster, how I want to draft, how I decide to deal with money issues, right? Like, there's a whole lot of conversations off the court that are going to go into whether or not he gets this job.
Yeah, and now that they made it to the conference finals, they're a destination. I think they could get a big fish if they wanted to. I'm not saying, oh, we're getting LeBron James, but they could get a big fish.
If Russell Westbrook can go to damn Washington,
exactly,
I think the Hawks can go get somebody.
Exactly. I wouldn't be shocked if next year, say the Hawks do lose this Eastern Conference Finals, I hope not, they go get Bradley Beal to team him up with Trae Young or a big star.
I was going to ask, cause has John Collins done enough in the playoffs in your mind to deserve a max deal? Because I don't think so.
A max deal, no. I mean, he's been solid, but he had – I mean, against the Knicks, he had a goose egg, 0 points. He had a couple of bad games in this series, I think 2 to 3. Not a max deal, though. That's if I'm the Hawks, you don't jump the gun and just offer him a hundred plus mil. I wouldn't do that, but you got to explore them options and go see if you could get – you know, got to pair up with Trae Young to take that next step.
I think Blake Griffin is a free agent. I like Blake, baby.
Blake Griffin's a piece. This isn't 2011 anymore. Right? Hey! He's not jumping over cars in Superman outfits anymore. Blake Griffin's he's a piece. He's like a joke.
I know.
Yeah,
he's like
Dwight Howard. He's just a piece now. He's not the superstar. The NBA's kind of changed, but I mean, John Collins, to be fair, he might have earned himself an extension with the T-shirt he was wearing in the postgame. Did you see that, Cam?
Oh, yes. I like it, too. Embiid talks junk. You got to talk junk back.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't see John Collins in the postgame press conference, sunglasses on, black T-shirt, wearing a shirt of a picture of himself dunking over Embiid in Game 6. So, I mean, T-shirt of the postseason so far, I'd probably say there. But, again, you have the Atlanta Hawks. They've been great on the road. Obviously going to start this series out on the road as well against Milwaukee. Cam, how excited are you? Give me your predictions. We need some thoughts because you've been right so far.
Give me the Hawks in seven. Give me the Hawks in seven. I think they'll pull it out. I said it like Philly. I'm not a believer in the Bucks like that. They got lucky last round. You could build a wall against Giannis. It might be less than seven. I seen them lose to a fifth seed last year. So give me the Hawks.
Yeah, first game's coming up on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. You'll have the Hawks at the Milwaukee Bucks. I do think it's hilarious, though. I think the NBA is probably rooting for Atlanta right now. I know they'll never come out and say this, but the NBA is rooting for Atlanta right now because there's a distinct possibility that you could have a Hawk or a Milwaukee Phoenix Finals. And the NBA does not want that. No. The NBA is hoping for an LA-Atlanta Finals, but there's a distinct possibility. Probably the betting favorites right now is you're going to have a Phoenix-Milwaukee's final. So I do think it's funny that probably for the first time all postseason, you probably have the NBA pulling for Atlanta.
You going to make your prediction? What you got?
Well, I mean, I have to pick Milwaukee.
I got Hawks in six.
It's the correct thing to do. I think Milwaukee probably in six.
Milwaukee's the better team. They are, yeah. But strategic-wise, I don't know. We'll have to see after game one.
Who am I rooting for? I was literally born like 300 yards away from Phillips Arena. So who am I rooting for? You know who I'm rooting for.
He said the Bucks.
I said Phillips Arena. State Farm. Oh. All right? State Farm. I was born. Yeah. So, I mean, I could throw a rock out of the window in the first room I was ever in as a human being and hit that arena. So, yeah, obviously I'm rooting for Atlanta. But if I'm a betting man, if I have to pick to be correct, Milwaukee. I mean, they got Giannis on the team. Love Trae Young. Love what they've done so far. And they've proven me wrong every single step of the way. I hope they do it again. But I wouldn't pick it. So that's where we're at. We're going to take a quick break, though. We have some name, image, and likeness stuff to get into. Some big rulings coming down from the Supreme Court today that's going to change the landscape of college sports, not just college football. Also, some stuff from the NCAA in terms of a push on a name, image, and likeness rule change throughout college sports. So we'll dive into that when we come back. Also, the Braves take 3 out of 4 from the Cardinals over the weekend. Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals threw an absolute gem in game one of the doubleheader yesterday, but the Braves take game two off the back of a Ronald Acuna Jr. home run. So they take 3 out of 4 ahead of another doubleheader coming up today. 4 games in 2 days for the Atlanta Braves. They're taking on the New York Mets. We'll have full coverage of that coming up for you. A shortened version of 3 and Out coming up next. We'll have Braves pregame and then Ian Anderson and DeGrom, the DeGrominator, coming up a little bit later. And then we'll have game two a little bit later this evening for you as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk name, image, and likeness right here on Second Down. So coming up on July 1st, according to the state of Georgia, players at universities throughout the state will be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. We've had reports that some players already have handshake agreements with sponsors to do this starting July 1st. It was reported by Dog Nations that former Glenn Academy kicker Jack Polesny, as well as Brock Vandegrift, the highest-rated signee quarterback-wise in this past class for Georgia, already have a deal in place with an apparel company that come July 1st, they're going to start making money, right? There are some guidelines that have been set out, right? The most controversial one being that schools can mandate up to 74.99999% of that money has to go into a pool that gets distributed out to other athletes. No school as of yet in the state of Georgia has said they're going to do that. In fact, it's been quite the opposite. Most schools have said they won't do that, right? But again, come July 1st, student athletes inside the state of Georgia will be able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Only thing they can't do is use the university to do it. Only thing the universities can't do is proliferate the payment to those athletes, right? Can't have boosters paying athletes, can't have the school paying athletes to support or to be advertising for the school, right? So there's a little bit of separation of church and state there, but if you have a backup long snapper who has 100,000 followers on a YouTube channel, they can now start making money off of that, right? Just for whatever they do. It doesn't have to be sports related, but they can use their name, they can use their image, and they can use their likeness to start making money. Now, this has become an issue for the fact that NCAA rules are different than what these state laws would be. As it is right now, the NCAA, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But if the NCAA was to stop a student athlete in a state where it's legal from making money, offer any kind of recourse, the NCAA is then opening themselves up for litigation. So what's the solution for that? The NCAA has put together a working body, and this is a crucial 10-day period for them, and it's really being pushed by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Our old buddy Bob Bowlesby from the Big 12
is a
big part of this as well, where they're trying to create a, quote, minimalistic name, image, and likeness standard inside the NCAA. And I want to break this down in the simplest terms because I know it's a lot. And it's as someone who spends hours every day reading about it, it's a lot. Like, I have to give kudos to Nicole Auerbach and to Ross Dellinger and the other people who cover this because it is absurd. I know they got it. Nicole Auerbach actually tweeted out earlier. She's like, she got in this to cover college football, and now that means going to the Supreme Court. Like, it's nuts what they've been having to do this offseason, but it's also huge in terms of the scope of college athletics. The new proposal that could be adopted by the NCAA is let the states that already have laws in place mandate those. So if you have the laws in place, it's fine. It would not be an NCAA violation. Follow the laws. For the states that don't have it in place, it would be a school-by-school policy decision, and then the NCAA would honor that. What I am gathering from this and what I am gathering from some of the statements Mark Emmert has said, if you follow the rules of your state or of your school, NCAA is not going to have a problem with you. Even if the NCAA doesn't have a law in place, even if the federal law from Congress isn't in place, the NCAA isn't going to mess with you. And if I have to imagine, a lot of that is coming under the fact that, like, you know, when you were a kid and you kept your room clean enough, right? You kept it clean enough.
Sure.
But every now and then you'd have company coming over. Mm-hmm. And so you thought you kept it clean, but then your mom came in to, like, really inspect. And you were like, oh, she's going to find the dirty clothes that are under my bed. She's going to find where I just, like, stuffed trash behind the dresser. Like that kind of stuff. The NCAA, from the outside, and anybody who's followed it closely enough knows this isn't the case, but from the outside to senators and congresspeople who don't give a rip about college athletics, they've looked like they were fine. Nonprofit, they're doing their thing. They've had some issues, but everybody has some issues. Now you're in front of those people, and they're pulling all your sheets back. They're checking behind the bed. They're asking you about the stain on the carpet. And so the NCAA has all that going on. The last thing they want now is for them to block a player from a school in Georgia or make them ineligible inside their sport for following a state law and now open themselves up to that litigation while they're already in front of senators and congressmen and women in the United States or in Washington, D.C., right? That's the last thing they want to do right now. So what they're trying to do is they've gotten – the train left them at the station, right? Now they're trying to get back on the train – and they're trying not to get run over. That they're trying their best. I'm trying not to use too many idioms here, but they're trying their best to hold on to the reins. And it's a rocky ride right now for Mark Emmert because, to their credit, a lot of congressmen and women and a lot of senators are asking really good questions. They're questions that we have been asking for a very long time.
And just have been ignored.
Time.
Yeah.
Yes, we've been asking these for a very long time. So what it seems like is going to happen, we'll find out more in the coming days, is the NCAA is going to pass a rule out that basically says schools, you can make your own decisions, and for the schools in states that have already made decisions, you just follow those rules.
Yeah.
And I think that could work, where you could get into it as where if a school decides that they're not going to do that, they don't want name, image, and likeness, or you have differentiating rules from state to state, could that start to cause some issues? Sure. But in terms of the NCAA scope, it takes the liability off of them, and it takes the enforcement off of them for this stuff. Now, again, I do think inside of this minimalistic guideline, the two key factors will remain is you can't use the school's name.
Yeah.
So you, JT Daniels can go out and say, hey, this is JT Daniels. Come out to Bubba's Burgers, and they got a special going on over there, right? Which, again, this is a very, like, antiquated advertising.
Very generic,
That we're putting out there, because a lot of this is going to have more to do with social media, right? But he could say that. What he can't say is, hey, this is JT Daniels, quarterback at the University of Georgia.
QB1 for UGA.
You can't say it. And I don't know. This is where the gray area. I don't even know if you can say this is JT Daniels, college football player. Because I think you can just say you have your name, you have your image, and you have your likeness. I don't know that you can have your name and your title inside of college athletics. I'm pretty sure you can't, but that could just be me being overly analytical towards it. Flip side of that, what schools can't do is have boosters pay these kids.
Yeah, and the shady behind the door, because you know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. People are going to get caught. You're going to get caught.
It's going to happen regardless. And
need some funny money.
It's just, yeah, exactly. Down at the Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. But those are the two guardrails. One side, you can't say you're from the school and you can't say you're a college athlete. Flip side of that, the school can't pay you. Right, so there is some sort of balance there, but those are the guidelines as of right now that the NCAA is going to try to push through with this working group. They're going to present it to their board of governors to make a decision on this, and what they really want to happen, which, again, asking this institution to do anything quickly is beyond lunacy. What they really want is Congress to come through with a sweeping, overarching decision, but they might not want that so much now, because what might be tied to that is a lot of money that is going to be spent from these schools based on these rules, right?
Yep.
Mainly in healthcare is what Congress is really pushing for inside of this bill. So I think the NCAA was begging for it, and then when they begged for it, they started seeing the Congress started seeing some of the dirty laundry, and they're going to ask them to clean it up. And inside of that, these schools and the people who contribute significant amounts of money to the NCAA are going to be like, the hell did you do? So now they're trying to get back out in front of it. Meanwhile, we had another decision made from Washington in terms of college athletics, where they are basically expanding the benefits that schools are allowed to give out.
Okay,
so
explain.
If you'll think back a few years, the NCAA has actually changed their position on this, but a few years ago, there was a limit on how much food you could give an athlete. Like, there was a set denominator of money that you could spend on each athlete in terms of the food you were giving them. I think lodging as well was a part of that, where you could only spend X amount of money, or I don't know how much you could spend at all. If like it couldn't be more than what a regular student received in terms of scholarship to spend on housing, right? Now you can feed a student athlete as much as you want to. There's no regulations on how much food you can give to your students. It's nutrition. They can go in. You can have food prepared for them, food ready to go for your student athletes. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States unanimously affirmed a ruling Monday that provides a little bit of an increase in how college athletes can be compensated. So one of the ones that I think is big is they're allowed to give them laptops.
Okay, yes. Nice.
Now, versus you had to use your own money, you had to use scholarship money and stuff like that. But basically, just expanding a little bit more the amount of things you can give to the student athletes. And so now, if I had to imagine, the recruiting visits are going to look like, yep, there's our new weight room. We got a new field turf out there. We have this amazing new nutrition facility, and also
stacks of MacBooks.
Yeah, you want a MacBook Pro when you get here too? So let's get after it. So, I mean, if anything, and I think, like, let's give the NCAA the benefit of the doubt. I think, for the most part, what the NCAA was trying to do is keep a competitive balance by basically saying Southwest East State doesn't have the same resources to buy MacBooks as Alabama. And so we already know that Alabama is probably going to get the recruit, but now even more so by saying we're going to give you a free computer that's valued at $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's I think there was some competitive balance, but like, if that's the case, then why wasn't there limits on how much money you could spend on a weight room?
Well, it is also on. You can get with that, but also with each state is going to be different. Each university is going to be different. So they're going to be competing with each other to who has the best benefits. So you're going to be out there. All right, these young men and women is going to be in a crazy time now from whenever Ben was recruited and all that stuff. From now, you pretty much have to pick the state that's going to benefit you the most now from what they have implemented in their laws. Also, say you're saying Alabama, you know, so there's another thing, just like, hey, I can get a free MacBook if I go here and stuff like that. But if I went to like a JUCO or something like that, or HBCU, most of the time you're not gonna be able to get something like that. So there's gonna be a few different factors now than just saying, hey, this is my program. Do you want to be a part of my program? Now it's the whole entire thing around it. These kids have to do.
Here's a direct quote from the initial lawsuit from Sean Alston. He was a West Virginia football player, and Judge Claudia Wilkin originally ruled on it before they took it to the Supreme Court back in 2019. It says schools should be able to provide their athletes with educational equipment, i.e. the laptops, study abroad programs, internships, and cash rewards in exchange for academic accomplishments.
Okay.
So I would want some clarity on.
It could get some gray real quick.
No, that's what I would want some clarity on, is what does cash rewards for academic accomplishment means? Because it can't be like dad handing out $20 because you got all A's and B's, right?
Yep.
Like, you can't have a football coach giving out $1,000 to every student because they got cash. According to the rules, because they got good grades, according to the rules right now, right? Is that what this means? Can you set parameters and say if you hit a certain margin, you'll be awarded cash rewards? Or does that cash, because again, this is the federal government, does that cash mean if you reach a certain academic threshold, you will receive more scholarship money?
There are so
many questions to answer there, but they did uphold that ruling today. So student athletes educational equipment, study abroad programs, internships, and cash rewards in exchange for academic accomplishments. That was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court today. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk Braves. They took 3 out of 4 from the Cardinals over the weekend and have a huge 4-game series coming up with the New York Mets. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on ESPN Radio. Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen and Cam Urshery. Glad you are hanging out with us on this Monday afternoon. Going to have a little bit of a shortened version of 3 and Out coming your way because we do have a doubleheader coming up. Braves with a makeup game against the Mets. You're going to both of those games coming up on ESPN Radio. We'll have all your pregame coverage for you. Guys, 2-game set. You took 3 out of 4 over the weekend from the St. Louis Cardinals. But yesterday, when you split the doubleheader, only scored 2 runs. You win game 2, 1-0 because Ronald Acuña Jr. hits one out of the ballpark. You get the 1-0 win. How concerned are you, though, the fact that they're going into a game against far and away the best pitcher in baseball, and over the past 14 innings, they managed to scrounge all of 2 runs?
I'm very – oh, you want to go first? Or you go?
No, yeah, I am, dude, they have not had luck against the Mets. They have not been good against the Mets. They have not had fun against the Mets. And going up into this game, as slow as they are, not doing as well.
You took 3 out of 4.
Yeah, you took 3 out of 4, but
scored 2 runs in the past.
It was the Cardinals games also, and it wasn't, you know.
They're not a bad team.
They're not the best. They're not the best team, though.
Well, neither are the Mets.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Are they better than the Mets?
Who's to say?
I don't think.
The Mets aren't the Dodgers or the Padres or the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Well, maybe you will catch the Mets right now. Well, they 5-5 in the last 10, stuff like that. The only people in the division that's doing well right now in the last 10 games is the Nationals. What's that?
The Mets are also 20-7 at home.
Yeah. Oof, yeah, that's not good. So the only team that's right now that is I'm kind of worried about, because maybe you'll go blow for blow for the Mets, is someone's coming, dude, right up the rear, right there. The Nationals. The Nationals are smoking hot right now, and they have just as many wins as the Braves right now, and they are roaring up the division. The Mets, maybe you can split it with them, all that stuff, but watch out for the Nationals.
You don't need to split it with the Mets. You need to win this series with the Mets, and it starts today. It's going to be tough against DeGrom. They haven't announced their game 2 starter yet,
yeah,
but you need to win this 4-game set with the Mets if you're the Atlanta Braves. You're currently 33-36 on the year, 13-6. On the road. You need to win this series. Just some quick stats for you, though. Ian Anderson is going against the Mets. A lot of guys haven't seen him yet, and the guys who have, very limited success. Villar has had a hit off of him. Lindor has had 1 hit off of him, but also a strikeout in his career. He's batting 300 against him. Outside of that, Alonso's 0-2 in his career. Peraza's 1-2. Nito is 0-2.
Okay.
But Almora hasn't seen him yet. Kevin Pillar hasn't seen Ian Anderson yet. So if there's one thing I think you can really hope for in this one, is the fact that these guys haven't seen Ian Anderson before. And so he needs to go blow for blow, because there's a distinct possibility in a 7-inning game, which this one's going to be, that DeGrom can just come out there flame-throwing the entire game, because he doesn't have to worry about going 9. He just has to worry about going 7.
Okay.
And you just saw that happen to yourself over the weekend with Adam Wainwright doing it to you in game 1 yesterday. So it's going to be interesting. Not the pitcher you want to run into when you're struggling to score runs. Hopefully it was just that doubleheader yesterday. Braves can get it right on the road against the Mets. We got to take a quick break here. We'll come back. Final segment of Second Down next. Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. Got to give Rich Styles some credit, guys.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
That's my boy.
He didn't win our golf pick'em this past weekend, but he did pick the winner in John Rahm, who just had a comeback for the ages at the U.S. Open. We also saw a meltdown for the ages from one Bryson DeChambeau out there. But that being said, I do want to talk about the winner of the bracket over the weekend.
Oh, it was you?
No, that would be me.
Oh.
Because the way we do it, it's a combined score of all the rounds your 3 golfers played.
Okay.
And I was the only one whose all 3 golfers made the cut.
You invited me to do this, and I was like, I don't know enough about, like, I know some golfers, but in order to pick that many with that many people picking, that's just a shot in the dark for me after that. I don't know anything like that.
I mean, Jordan
Spieth. You, On the other hand,
Jordan Spieth, Bryson DeChambeau, and old Brooks Koepka all making the cut.
Oh, my boy.
Brooksy there. So, yeah, Rich, if you're listening, you may have picked the winner, but you did not, in fact, win. We got a big show coming up on 3 and Out, though. The guys get you caught up. They'll react to the Hawks winning Game 7 against the Sixers and the upcoming series against the Milwaukee Bucks. We also just have more and more breaking news coming out of college athletics in terms of the U.S. government and Supreme Court now getting involved, and a lot of unintended consequences from people who maybe mean well that could come and be proliferated throughout college sports. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll get you ready for a huge doubleheader coming up for the Atlanta Braves. I think could be a season-defining series or season-ending series against the New York Mets, because if you don't play this one right, all of a sudden you could be looking upwards at a double-digit deficit before the All-Star break in your division. So a whole lot to talk about. BJ, Ben, and Kevin will do it. If you miss any portion of the show today, you can catch it on SoundCloud and ESPNCoastal.com as well. 3 and Out coming up next.